Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, August the 15th, and good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Hi, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
Good morning, Chris. How
are
you doing, brother?
I'm well.
Thank you for joining us, everybody, for the program today. Several guests lined up for the program. Do you know what? They're going to say a mystery. How do you like that for a tease?
They're going to what?
Remain a mystery.
Oh, remain a mystery.
Yeah. So in case the people listening right now don't want to listen to us four, I got some other guests lined up for them. So stay tuned for that. So not much happening in the news today, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to play some easy jazz music.
Easy listening jazz. I do want to make mention of the fact that it is, that in fact, somebody told me this, that this is Victory Over Japan Day, the anniversary. Mm-hmm. August 15th, 1945, that was the day when Japan officially surrendered. I think they actually signed the document on September 2nd, but it's...
You mean on the boat there at in Tokyo?
Yeah, the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay. Mm-hmm. That was on September 2nd.
But this is the day they surrendered?
Yes.
Officially?
So it's hard to believe it's that long ago. But
how long ago was that?
Well, 1945, so 55 and 23, what is that, 78? 78, you were closing in on 80 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a war historian, so to speak.
I like to read about it. I'm not.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, expert. How long? What was the time difference between the surrender of Germany? I guess the demolishing of Germany and the Japanese surrendering.
Was that April? I think that was in April of 45. I'm going to look that up right now. For
you mean
VE
the
Day?
The VE Day, yeah, that's what I want to know. What's the difference between the time?
I'm sorry, May 8th, 1945, known as Victory in Europe Day or VE Day.
So then it was
May, June, July, so 3 months later. In fact, if you ever watch a series like Band of Brothers that followed airborne troops in Europe, when the victory was won in Europe, many of them were preparing to go to be sent to the Pacific because the war was still going on. Mm-hmm. in the Pacific. But it wrapped up quickly.
Talk about an
enough.
Oh, great moment.
Oh, yes. No, that's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Fellows, we're going home. We just beat Nazi Germany. And oh, by the way, take a week off because you're headed.
I'm going to the jungle.
Yeah, you're headed to the Pacific. But, you know.
And there really was an extraordinary generation of men. I know it wasn't just men. There were women who were nurses.
The whole country was
rose
to the occasion.
Yeah. Quite a generation.
Yeah.
And that is, so today is VJ Day. And we don't need to forget because these kinds of ideologies erupt every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And there is a totalitarian streak growing in the West. And it's not from our side, despite what the media is saying. It's coming from the radical left. But anyway, that was the defeat of Nazi Germany. And then today, the anniversary of...
Did Japan have any countries that were joining them in their war against the U.S. and others? Or was it just Japan?
Well, I mean, they were part of the Axis forces, but they weren't fighting in Europe. But there was Germany and, I hate to say it, Italy and Japan, the Axis. But I don't think there were any, as far as I know, there were no European forces helping Japan in the Pacific.
Well, I'm talking about, were there any other Asian countries that were helping them?
I don't think so. They went to war against China before World War II even broke out, and that was just devastating. The Chinese...
Devastating for who?
For China.
Okay.
Oh, and Korea was conquered, you know, the Philippines. The Chinese actually, my understanding, if I remember correctly, during World War II, including Japan's invasion prior to the official start of World War II, the Chinese were second in numbers of people killed to the Russians. In terms, I forget how many tens of millions were lost. Mm-hmm. Japan brutalized China.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Chinese have ever forgotten that. So,
well, praise God, the good guys won.
Amen.
Right? In both theaters.
Yep.
And all right, Christopher, what's happening out there?
Pretty much the top story, certainly in this country and most of the world. In a story you can read on our website, afn.net, it's an Associated Press story, but it says Donald Trump and 18 allies were indicted in Georgia on Monday over their efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss in the state, with prosecutors using a statute normally associated with mobsters. The nearly 100-page indictment details dozens of acts by Trump or his allies to undo his defeat, including beseeching Georgia's Republican Secretary of State to find enough votes for him to win the battleground state, harassing a state election worker who faced false claims of fraud, and attempting to persuade Georgia lawmakers to appoint a new slate of Electoral College electors favorable to Trump. This case was brought by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, who, much like D.A. Alvin Bragg in Manhattan, is a Democrat.
Right. So how many counts was the former president charged with?
It's 10 counts mm-hmm. against him.
10 counts against him. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Fred, your thoughts on this?
Well, it was expected. We were talking just before we went on the air. Yesterday afternoon, about mid-afternoon, while the grand jury was still sitting, the Fulton County Clerk's Office posted the indictments against the former president. The grand jury is still sitting. The grand jury is the one that's supposed to issue the indictments, but the clerk's office posts the indictments while the grand jury is still sitting.
And they had not even heard all the witnesses.
That's right. So Reuters News actually picked it up, and then it was quickly taken down. And Fannie Willis last night was asked about this, and she said, well, I don't know how the clerk's office in Fulton County works. Next question. Literally, that's her quote. Next question.
She's the DA.
She's the DA that's bringing these charges.
Who campaigned on the fact that she was going to get Trump.
Yes.
And so now, listen, I was listening to one of Trump's attorneys on Fox. Now, of course, you're going to get the side of President Trump with his attorney speaking, but she said that they are going to move for a mistrial because this is not just a mistake. This is a due process violation because the process is set up to have a grand jury that, first of all, that's impartial, that's going to hear the evidence that the prosecutor has. The defendant has no right to bring forth evidence or have anyone speak, in this case, on his behalf. But that grand jury is supposed to impartially hear the evidence, well, and then issue the indictments if they believe there's enough for a trial. And for this entire indictment, Trump's attorney said that, Chris, do we have sound on this? Or
we've got several pieces of sound.
Okay. Let me just say this one thing, and then we'll go, because I want to hear from the official spokespeople. But she said it was not a mistake. It was the exact indictment that we all – I was reading the indictment at midnight last night, and I don't know fell asleep.
What a life you have.
It was
– Everybody would like to
it
have
It was
your,
boring. Your... but – It was the same indictment. So this was done before the grand jury even heard it. I don't know how they get away with that, and we're going to see. I mean, that's the kind of thing I think that sends this case to a federal court because it's clearly a constitutional violation.
I do have several pieces of sound. We can begin with this one. We'll hear from the DA herself, Fannie Willis of Fulton County, talking to the press about the case, clip one.
This office will be submitting a proposed scheduling order within this week. However, that will totally be at the discretion of the judge. We do want to move this case along, and so we will be asking for a proposed order that occurs a trial date within the next 6 months.
Now, this entire situation has brought about a lot of people on Fox News and Newsmax, other channels, to respond to the latest indictment and talk about the DA, Fannie Willis. One of those people responding to all this is former Congressman and Fox News contributor Jason Chaffetz. He had this to say this morning about Fannie Willis in the indictment, clip two.
They put out this document before the grand jury has voted. So the grand jury's voted. She's already put it out there, then calls it back, says it's fictitious. It made no sense. And again, she was doing fundraisers, sent out a fundraising email in the last couple days right before this. And why do they have to wait 2.5 years, more than 2.5 years? They're going to do this and say, oh, I want to have the trial in February of next year, right smack in the middle of the election, the primary election.
I'm going to put him down as doubtful.
by the way, the attorney, I should have had her name. I couldn't remember it. This is President Trump, one of his attorneys. She's civil lawyer Alina Haba. She's an Iraqi-born Christian. She was the woman that I was referring to.
I do not have that sound.
I heard her on one of the Fox shows talking about this. That's another thing, guys, that is making this. Listen, I think whoever's guilty of breaking the law should be punished. I don't care what political party they're a part of. Okay. But this, what's making this so difficult to believe is the fact that in all four of these cases, we're talking about the Manhattan case, the Mar-a-Lago case, the January 6th case, and now this Georgia case, they all want to wait until election year.
Mm-hmm.
They've had, who was that you just?
Jason Chaffetz, former congressman.
Yeah. They've had two and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, That's right. Yeah, 2.5 years, almost 3 years to do this.
Well,
and they want to do it all during the primaries.
I agree with you. I would say it does take some time to develop a case when you're a prosecutor.
That's fair.
Okay, you can't just snap your fingers.
Right.
You've got to subpoena things. You've got to interview witnesses. You've got to talk to people. You got to make sure you're I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. But still, you got to think with this one, this Georgia state case, you know, you could do that in a year, right?
Yeah.
You could see here we are, you know, 2.5 years, like you said, 2.5 years later.
The Manhattan case, for example, was the indictments brought in May. The second hearing is going to be in December.
Mm-hmm.
So the trial won't even start until. So I'm thinking, well, they should have all their evidence together if they issue an indictment. So why do you announce it in May and then have the second hearing in December? I think it's part of the intent of these individuals is to prevent Trump from running in any way possible. That's what it's starting to look like to me. I'm a genius. Okay. Obviously not. It seems clear.
I think you're a genius.
I was being sarcastic.
No, I'm talking about with a small G. I would say with a small G. I wouldn't necessarily put a big G on there, but I would say you're a small genius.
I'm saying it's so clear that they are trying to prevent President Trump.
And the American people are juxtaposing what's happening with the former president against what's happening with Joe Biden, or what's not happening with Joe Biden. When you have the prosecutor in Delaware, he investigates Hunter Biden for over 2 years.
Right.
And then puts forward a sweetheart deal of misdemeanor charges and dismissing the federal charge on gun ownership altogether. The judge finds out there's a sweetheart deal in paragraph 15 that if you sign off on this, we're not going to investigate Hunter anymore. And then Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, last Friday names David Weiss, the guy who signed off on the sweetheart deal, as now the special counsel to investigate.
And those who are supposed to be prosecuting and those who are who have the job of defending Hunter Biden, they're all trying to get it moved out of state because they want to get away from this judge.
They want to get away from this judge. So, and then you have, and I'm sorry, all you have to have is two brain cells to understand what's going on here. We get the testimony from the whistleblowers that Joe Biden is on 20 of the phone calls that Hunter, his son Hunter, is having with business partners. And we're told they just talked about the weather. That's all. There was no involvement that Joe Biden wasn't in partnership with his son and all of this. We had how many? There's 20 different shell accounts set up when the Ukrainians and the Russians dispersed money to Hunter Biden.
Chinese.
Yeah. When Romanian. It went into family members, these accounts are being...
That's the allegation.
Well, now, the Congress could impeach President Biden. Mm-hmm. That's potential. There's a potential that that might happen. I think there have been articles of impeachment.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has said she's going to impeach him about a lot of things.
Another person.
Well,
did.
Impeachment inquiry. Mm-hmm. I think. This is
okay,
the first
time. But now you can't. There are a lot of limitations on maybe altogether on going after a sitting president. So, criminally, right?
Right.
So you may have to wait till Biden's out. Of course, you may have to wait till he's out. I'm not saying that the deep state doesn't favor the Democrats. Obviously, they do, but I'm saying they can say, "Well, you can't." The mechanism for going after a president for violating the law while he's in the Oval Office is impeachment.
Right.
Okay. That's what happened to Richard Nixon. He wasn't charged criminally, in a courtroom, but he was impeached and he left. Yeah. He left office in disgrace. We all remember well. Chris may not.
I've heard about it.
Yeah. So you would have to wait till Biden's out of office before you were able to do anything legally other than impeachment. But now the Republicans, they only had eight member?
Less than 10.
Margin. So it'd be very difficult to impeach him if you just need, if you're going to have, because they could peel off a few Republicans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, our country is in such a mess right now, and I had one person tell me, this is a smart guy now, that told
genius?
Me this.
Well, genius level?
I don't know if he rises to your small g genius level, Ed, but he said he doubts we'll have an election in 2024. Now, that sounds kind of nutty, but... Look at all the nutty stuff that's going on.
I wouldn't put anything.
It's like we're living in a novel.
Yeah.
Well, something today.
How constitutionally would that happen?
Well, I didn't ask him that, Fred, but I guess I can.
That's the real genius right there.
Well, I think he was just saying there's so much turmoil ahead in our country. Who knows what November 2024 is going to look like.
Here's,
right?
I don't think this is likely, but I the kinds of scenarios you just have to just think about. If it became obvious to all the red states, because I think President Trump in his J6 trial is going to try to prove that there was voter fraud. Okay,
but in a Georgia case too, I think it'll be open for him. So. Excuse me for interrupting, genius. But
see, now you're just getting sarcastic.
But listen, this will give President Trump and his team an opportunity, seems to me, to prove the voter fraud that they have said took place, because they'll have discovery opportunities. They'll be able to call witnesses. Am I right about this?
Well, that's part of the indictment for January 6th, is that Trump knew he had lost, but was spreading the falsehoods that the election was crooked. Just put it in regular terms. And if that's part of the motivation that the indictments claim, then he could say, no, I did not believe that the election was honest and upright.
He'll have to say that.
Yeah.
Because that, you're right, that's his defense. And that's what he believes.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he believes.
And reading...
But if you look at what was going on and read about what was going on in the White House at the time, there were a lot of people who worked for President Trump who told him, sir, we can't find the kind of fraud that you're looking for that would overturn the election.
Right.
Okay. One of them was Bill Barr.
Yeah.
The Trump's attorney general. So I'm just saying there were a lot of people who were telling him that, and then there were some who were telling him, well, we need more time, or there. And you were on a serious time crunch.
Yes.
You're talking about your the election day takes place in November, and then you're sworn in January. And then all the cases, almost all the cases that were brought, how many of them were there? 30 or I don't know how many cases that were brought by Trump's attorneys trying to go to court to get a hearing or were denied by a lack of standing. They weren't denied on evidentiary. They never made it to the court. And then the Supreme Court of the United States said, hands off, we're not touching this either. Right. Remember that?
Yeah. So to your point, in the J6 trial, January 6th trial, a lot of that stuff might very well finally be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And so back to the other question about what could happen. What would happen if people in this country in red states, those who voted for Trump, actually started seeing evidence? I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying that what if they actually start seeing evidence that the election was stolen? Again, folks, I am not saying it was. Some of you are yelling at the radio saying it absolutely was. You don't know what you're talking about.
You still have to prove it.
You still have to prove it.
In law, of course.
But what if a significant portion of this country begins to believe, yes, it was stolen, and the guy who's in there right now is, like the Democrats said about Trump, actually is illegitimate, and we don't trust the process anymore. I don't know. It is a lot. I don't think that's likely. I think people are going to still hold on to the process. But
well, what do you have? What are you going to do?
Right.
We're going to have tribes. We're going to go back to tribes.
Become balkanized. Anyway, we're far afield. This is Fred's fault for asking what would happen.
Part of Canadians trying to thwart our election process.
But I'm just saying it's going to be wild and crazy because
four trials ongoing during the election year.
You know,
of a former president who's running against Joe Biden.
Probably that New York case that could easily be dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Bragg,
yes,
hush money case that could easily be dismissed. The other three, no, they're not going to be dismissed. And they're not going to be moved. It's going to be tried in D.C. and in Florida and in Atlanta. And you're right. That's a lot to juggle.
Right.
Right there for the lawyers, for Mr. Trump. Is he going to have to, is my understanding, he's going to have to sit in the courtroom for these trials.
Mm-hmm. Huh? And you can't campaign while you're sitting in the courtroom.
He doesn't need to campaign. Why does Trump need to campaign? 1 minute. Tell me why.
Because he's good at it.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying he's not good at it. I'm saying he doesn't need to.
You mean he just makes statements every day?
No. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody's pretty much decided today who they're going to vote for. He doesn't need to do anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
People know everything about President Trump they're ever going to know. He didn't need to go rally them. Okay? We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
It's a funny age in which you and I are living. We have more now than any people in the history of mankind. We earn the highest wages, eat more of the best food, wear more of the finest clothes, live better in well-constructed houses, travel farther by faster and more comfortable means, retire earlier, and live longer. All this, and we are, in some respects, the most miserable people ever. The American Chemical Society says that normal Americans use millions and millions of dollars worth of tranquilizers every year. And listen to this. About 1 out of 12 Americans take tranquilizers regularly. But take heart, tranquilizer takers. There are some 50 varieties to choose from, and you can have your choice. Dr. Herbert Ratner says that America is the most over-medicated, over-operated, over-inoculated, and yet the most anxiety-ridden country in all the world. We suffer most from so-called diseases of civilization, including neurosis, high blood pressure, ulcers, anybody have one, and heart disease. And here's a figure that is appalling to any sensible person. Suicide is the second cause of all deaths between the ages of 15 and 25. In the years in which life is supposed to be the greatest, suicide ranks second in the taking of lives. The trouble is, according to Dr. Ratner, we look upon mental and physical health as a commodity that can be bought in the supermarket. We have been increasingly a paying animal, whereas we have become decreasingly a praying animal, as if spiritual truth were unrelated to total health. That's what Dr. Ratner said. The secret here, you see, is that being sound physically and mentally doesn't complete the person. It will any other animal, but not man. Man has about him a spiritual side which is ever more important than the physical or mental. Whether we are willing to admit it or not, mind and body and spirit affect each other for good or ill. The man of Galilee had a word to say here. Seek first his kingdom, he said, and his righteousness, and all these things. He knew only too well that happiness comes from wholeness. This may well be one interpretation of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they, he said. And here he's saying that the happy people are those who relate themselves, to others, to their world, and to the Creator in the way he intended for them to do when he made them. It's a funny thing, indeed, that those who are seeking desperately for happiness never find it. And those who are too busy doing something worthwhile to seek happiness, they're the most happy. It is true, then, that the deep wisdom which the carpenter of Nazareth taught man nearly 2,000 years ago still rings true today. Many who have failed to find comfort in tranquilizers have come to find the truth in that statement. So give the statement a try in your life today. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. You know, I think you'll be mighty glad you did.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Ephesians 1, verse 11.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. And Chris Woodruff is taking a break right now.
He's going to make himself a sandwich.
Just to wrap up our conversation here, we were talking about, you know, the multiple lawsuits involving former President Trump that he's going to have to face for the next, I don't know, who knows how long, right? At least probably a year. And I mentioned, you talked about that he would say, well, he can't campaign. And that's probably going to be true to some extent because he'll be tied up in courtrooms. and lawyers, because when you're charged with something like these things, you have to sit in the courtroom.
Right.
You can't say,
Turn it over to my attorneys.
I've got a tea time.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go sit and listen and watch and so, I don't know.
It wouldn't be smart to, even if you could do that, it wouldn't be smart to do that because then you got a jury sitting
right.
there or judge and they go, well, this guy doesn't even care.
Right. Yeah. He can't do that. I think he has to be present in most of these cases and, you know, whether he'll testify or not, remains to be seen because, you know, there's some risk involved when you testify because you're being cross-examined by, you know, experienced criminal prosecutors, right?
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see on that. But what I meant by campaigning was let's just assume for just a minute that Joe Biden is the nominee. Which I'm having my doubts every day because this guy is,
Right.
Whoa. I mean, this guy, he's.
It's not a stretch to believe that there's someone else behind the throne.
He has left the stadium. Okay. He is.
Right.
He's done an Elvis. He's left the building. All right.
I mean, to have no comment about what's happening.
I know. That's what
Hawaii.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ask him about Hawaii and the fires. He says no comment.
He's on the beach.
What kind of an answer is that?
Right.
That's a guy who is not with us anymore.
Right.
As far as being self-aware and knowing. Anyway. Okay. So he's not going to campaign, right?
That's.
Okay. So President Trump, let's just assume he wins the Republican nomination. I don't even think he has to. I doubt he has to even campaign for that because it's going to be he's ahead in the polls. Some 30, 40 points.
And he's not going to lose ground.
Oh, so now half the party, half the Republican Party wants Trump. Half the Republican Party is looking at somebody else, perhaps.
Right.
Now, they may come, quote, home to Trump, but I'm just saying it's about a 50-50 right now. But 50% with all the other candidates splitting up the other 50% gives President Trump a huge lead.
Right.
I'm just saying he doesn't need to campaign for that, I don't think. This is just me talking, observing, and I don't think he would need to campaign, per se, against Biden. Biden isn't going to campaign. If Trump is out there, he's not going to campaign. Everybody's already got pretty much their mind made up. You could vote today.
There probably are people who are voting today.
A lot of dead people are voting right now. I'm just saying that you could vote today.
Yeah.
Pretty much on Biden versus Trump because – most Americans have their mind made up on Trump.
Yeah.
Right? Huh? One way or another.
Right.
Love him or hate him. Or the few that are in the middle, they pretty well got their mind made up. So I don't think the idea that Biden or Trump would not be able to fly to meetings or rallies, I don't think that makes any difference at all.
Yeah.
That's my humble opinion. That's humble with a capital H. All right. So Fred, do you agree with what I just said, or do you differ there?
No. Obviously, he has to be in the courtroom, but I do think that he would take advantage of the weekends, and he would go out and hold rallies, and those rallies, he's already getting thousands for the rallies
where
now.
He would talk about the sanctimonious being down?
Oh, he would.
30 or 40 points?
No, he would talk about, here's what he would say. These trials are not about me.
Right.
These trials are about the future of America. And he would have tens of thousands of people lining up to see
him. Oh, yeah. No question about it. Yeah. But he also has got a hit on the governor of Florida every time, too, which I don't like.
Yeah.
But that's what he does.
Yeah.
De Sanctis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We have a great lineup of podcasters that are available to you to listen to that are part of the American Family Radio Network. And one of them is Dr. Jessica Peck, otherwise known as Dr. Nurse Mama, the Dr. Nurse Mama podcast on American Family Radio, exclusive to American Family Radio. And Dr. Peck joins us from Texas. Jessica, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me join you.
So,
you're not working outside in the yard today, are you, being from Texas?
Sorry. It's 147 degrees, so that's going to be a no. But I am going to be moving my daughter into college on Thursday in Waco, and I'm already dreading how hot that's going to be.
I know. I saw the 105, 107, 108, or something like that. What consecutive days? This is for the majority of Texas.
Jessica, what have you guys done wrong down there in Texas for God to be punishing you like this?
I do not know, but we are praying for rain for sure.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Jessica, you've been on Walker Wildman, my son, recruited you, right?
Yeah, he did. He really did. I feel like I still owe him a casserole.
Well, we don't want to talk about baking a casserole right now because anyway.
It's about baking on the sidewalk. Yeah.
Right. What I wanted people to know, if they go click on Dr. Nurse Mama and listen to your podcast, is that weekly or do you do that twice a week or how often are you doing that?
It's weekly. Every Monday you can download it on the American Family Radio app, or you can stream it online or get it anywhere podcast or broadcast. And when it's mainly for parents. And so I'm talking through a lot of things, a lot of hard things that parents are facing today. Parents, I know because I have four kids. My kids are 20, 18, 16, and 14. And we are just facing a tidal wave of cultural change. And parents are feeling lost and really anxious about it, thinking, what are we going to do? How do we adapt our parenting to meet the challenges that we don't even know about and we don't even know that we need to know about, because it seems like every day there's a new health threat that's coming. So Dr. Nurse Mama is my professor brain, my hands-on experience, and my heart as a mom coming to be a guide on the side for parents to have real talk about real issues, meeting real families in real time.
What did you talk about last Monday? Yesterday.
Yesterday, back to school. So talked about just some guidance on back to school, because I think when we have parents, when we're parents of teens going back to school, it's a whole different thing than sending a kindergartner back to school. And sometimes we're looking at those pictures with cute little hair bows and the lunch boxes where, you know, kids still love their parents and they love themselves and they love their lives. And we can feel a little bit of nostalgia about that. So I talked about how to not love who your kid was, a younger version of who your kid used to be, more than you love who they are becoming. I also talked about some critical health threats that I think are really important conversations for parents to have about trends that I'm seeing take over social media and infiltrate adolescent conversation. Things like bed rotting and chroming and vaping and a new app called Saturn. So I'm really trying to keep parents in the know so they can have proactive conversations with their kids.
I saw this, these topics that you just mentioned. I've heard of the others. What is bed rotting? That's a new one. Then this is exactly why you do this, because there are probably other parents listening that are going, wait, what's bed rotting? What is that?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I'm married to a rocket scientist who's amused at the perception that people think I'm the smart one in the relationship when he is a rocket scientist. And he listens to my podcast every Monday when he's coming home from work. And he came in and that was the first question he said, bed rotting? Really? So thank you, TikTok, for the newest toxic self-care ritual that's for teenagers. So if you look on social media, you'll see images of teenagers burrito wrapped in their bed with snacks piled high and their phone in their hand. And they're either going to binge watch a show all day long or scroll social media literally all day and lie there and rot in their bed and feel good about it. Feel like I'm taking a day for me. And so I talk to parents about how do you talk to your kids about this and how do we balance self-care, because that is important, to take care of ourselves. I just heard on the radio Dawn giving that spot about we are body, mind, and spirit, and that's so true. And so how do we embrace that for kids? Now, what I do for my kids is once a semester, I give them a mental health day that's just free. You can get out of jail free. Just say, hey, I need a day to stay home and, you know, get things in order. And I say, okay, no questions asked. But every other day, they're going to go to school.
Okay, so I think I understand now. First of all, I am happy to hear that I'm as smart as a rocket scientist, because your husband and I
told you were a genius earlier.
Both thought of the same thing. But I do now understand what you mean by bed rotting, because I have recliner rotted before during hockey season. I understand that when it's cold, you wrap up, you eat snacks. I watch hockey games or football.
Yeah.
And so I am okay. I understand that.
Sometimes called chilling out.
Yes.
So now when we ask, where's Ed? He's in decline.
I'm in decliner.
He decliner. He's in decliner. The decliner. Oh, my word.
That was good.
Okay. So check out Dr. Jessica Peck. She's been our guest the last few minutes. She's been on with us. How many months you been doing that for us now?
Since May. And, you know, it's really exciting. We are approaching, I think we'll pass the 50,000 download mark in just the first 3 months. So it is catching on like wildfire. Yeah. So jump on the train. We'd love to have you in the family.
Okay, folks. So go to AFR.net. Not right now, because this is an important program you're listening to right
That's
now.
Right.
You don't want to miss it. But, you know, when you're chilling out.
That's right.
Go to the website, AFR.net, and click on the podcast. Very easy to see. And then you can hear download the weekly podcast by Dr. Jessica Peck called Dr. Nurse Mama. She deals with all kind of practical issues relating to families and children regarding health and mental health and physical health and other things. Listen, thank you so much, Jessica. We look forward to talking to you again sometime real soon. And we just hoping and praying for some rain and some cool weather out there
in Texas
for you guys. You need it bad.
Well, hey, thanks, guys, for having me. I'm going to go check on my casserole, bacon on the sidewalk.
Bacon on the sidewalk, yeah.
In decliner.
Well, okay. All right, thank you, Jessica.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Boy, she just has a wonderful voice.
Yes, she does.
In terms of listening podcast or radio.
You know, I don't know what we're doing here in our neck of the woods here, and I don't know how far this is spreading, but we're experiencing today and tomorrow, I shouldn't even say this, with our poor friends just suffering with this heat wave. And we've had heat wave here, so it's 97, 98.
Right.
But it's 83 out there right now. Huh?
Pretty nice.
So, yeah. Well, I guess we're living right. I don't know what's going on.
I was kidding. Folks, we have a lot of great listeners in Texas all over the state.
Right.
I hope you understand. I was just kidding. Right. That's not the way it works in terms of hot weather.
How does it work, Ed?
Well, like Job, sometimes you can live righteously and bad things happen.
Right.
So.
And the good thing about Joby, he's never complained.
Right. You know? Or his wife. His wife never complained.
Actually, if you go outside of our studios here right now, it's 79.
Are you serious?
No, 79. 79 really degrees.
Nice. Yes.
High of 82 today. I don't know what's going on. But anyway. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, one of the things that we do here at American Family Association and American Family Radio, we have a foundation, American Family Association Foundation, and I wanted to tell you what we offer here, because a lot of folks are considering, you know, investments and investing in God's kingdom. And there are many ways you can do that: missions, your church, whatever the case may be. Well, we also have a foundation here where you can invest. And joining us right now is Riley Freeman. Riley Wildman, my daughter, my firstborn. How long you been on the earth now?
Why don't you tell her how long she's been on the earth?
All right. She was born November the 3rd, 1987.
All right, there you go, there.
And I know that
Props
much.
To you.
Whatever, I just can't figure that all up in my mind here. Yeah. So... anyway, Riley, you and your team there at the AFA Foundation, Dan Celia, our brother, the late Dan Celia, who was on our board of directors and was the president of Financial Issues and hosted a show here on AFR for many years, our dear brother who went on to be with the Lord last year, right?
Dan, maybe two years.
Has it been 2 years ago already?
2 years.
a year and a half or so. Anyway, Dan mentored you.
Yes, sir.
And we began to develop something that a lot of other ministries have, and that is a foundation. So what does the foundation do?
The foundation exists to help our donors leave a legacy to American Family Association, American Family Radio. And those few ways is through a charitable gift annuity or through an outright donation, a gift of stock. But mainly people through a charitable gift.
Yeah, people give us stock sometimes.
Yes,
right?
An outright gift of stock.
Right.
And they can use that stock donation to fund a charitable gift annuity.
Okay.
And a charitable gift annuity is simply just a contract between AFA and AFR. A minimum amount to fund the gift annuity is $2,000 or
okay,
anything above that.
Let's say, for example, though, somebody wants to have a $25,000 gift annuity. How does that work? Do they send a check?
Yes, sir.
To AFA for an AFR for $25,000 through you and the ladies there at the foundation.
Correct.
We worked and they so they're getting in return for that what's called a charitable gift annuity.
Correct.
It's an annuity. So what happens then? Do they get a certain amount of money for the rest of their life?
Yes, sir. That can be they can receive that monthly, quarterly, or annually for the rest of their life.
Okay, for the rest of their life. And then when they pass away,
anything left over goes back to
AFA and AFR.
Yes,
that's
sir.
How that works.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so
it's based on their age.
Based on their age. Okay. So how do people get in contact with us to find out more information? Can they read more about this on the internet?
They can. They can visit our website at afafoundation.net. That's afafoundation.net. And they can run illustrations on our website as well. Or they can give us a call and talk
to
one of us.
Draw illustrations.
They can. No.
You have to draw pictures?
No, they can visit our website, and then they can go on our website and do an illustration and fill out an illustration.
It'll give them, like, examples.
Correct.
If you give this much money, this is what you get back every month. And
that is correct.
But you get a better deal if you draw a picture.
If you can draw it, it's always better.
All right, so AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net. Also, some people have left us in their will.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir. There's a lot of people sometimes that leave us in our will, and then we find out later.
Can you help people with that?
Yes, sir. We sure can. We have an illustration that we can also send to show people how that works.
By the way, folks, I am also open to being left in someone's will. So, and I will draw whatever you want me to draw.
So they can help you sit in your lazy boy and watch golf?
So I can recline or rock.
Is that really ministry, Ed? Come on, man.
Come on. That's a bunch of malarkey.
So for more information about the charitable gift annuity, because a lot of people have taken advantage of that.
Okay? Yes, sir.
The charitable gift annuity, which you buy one, so to speak, and then you get a certain amount of money for the rest of your life. And then when you pass, what's left goes to this ministry, to our ministry, right?
Yes, sir.
And there are certain tax breaks and all that kind of stuff. So you do probably want to maybe give a call and have someone.
Yes, they can also give us a call or do
okay, what's the phone number to talk to?
800-326-45.
Hold on. I'm illustrating this. 662-326 what?
No, 800. 800-326-4543, extension 345.
I'll give that again. Now, I've asked you this before. So if somebody calls us, do all the people talk like you?
Yes.
Yes.
You mean...
All the girls.
All the girls.
Sweet
Southern.
And intelligent.
Down home.
Geniuses. Every one of them.
All right. So if you're going to get somebody, you're going to have somebody interpret Southern English for you, people, if you're calling from around the country.
I don't think Riley has a thick accent
I'm kidding. What's the number again if they want to call?
800-326-4543, extension 345.
So, Ed, you don't think 4543 is
she didn't say it like that. Okay. 3-4-3.
All right, 800-326-4543, extension 345, and you can talk to Riley or Chelsea or Jessica.
Yes, sir.
You're going to get one of those three, and you can ask them all the questions you want to. about the foundation, about charitable gift annuities, about wills and estate. Do you do estate planning?
Estate planning, yes, sir.
And before she goes, she did want us to ask her about the latest Trump indictment.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure
so,
she did.
So, Riley, what's your take on
that? She's got two kids starting school now. She doesn't give a rip about that right now. She's trying to get them to dance and baseball.
She doesn't give a rip about that.
Oh, wow.
They just started.
If I didn't know better, I would say you were mocking me there, Ed, but I know you wouldn't be doing that.
I wouldn't.
Okay,
and I'm tonight. I'm just going straight to my recliner to rot
preseason,
for a while. preseason rot.
Thank you, Riley.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left here on this segment. It's already been excellent.
Both of these segments have been good. Our guests have been good, and Nurse Mama Jessica Peck, she's really good. And I'm just telling you, God has given us, folks, God has given us some excellent guests. I've been hearing excellent things about Todd Herman.
Todd Herman?
Herman, yes. Sorry. I was thinking more about Mark Herman.
Yeah, they're two different people.
Yeah, Todd Herman, who has replaced Dr. Bishop Jackson on his I'm losing it.
I'm not going to save you. You're a genius. Go ahead.
He is in decline.
Yes, absolutely in decline. Dr.
Mark Harmon.
I'm just giving up.
Mark Harmon, he's the NCIS guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, I never knew so many Marines could die in Navy people around Washington, D.C.
They drop like flies on that show. There's always someone getting murdered. I mean, how else could you have a show?
Yeah, I know NCIS. That's the original NCIS, right?
Which that's the only one I ever watched, and I loved when Mark Harmon would come by and slap Donoso on the back of the head, because that's the way I grew up. I'm telling you, Donoso, the Italian guy, always getting slapped on the back of the head.
Well, I always like about I watch that sometimes, but I always like Mark Harmon's character.
Yeah,
he always knows what they're talking about when he enters the room.
Yes.
He can be 50 feet away walking down the hall, and by the time he gets to their desk,
he'll answer.
He's got the perfect answer for him. NCIS Los Angeles is pretty good, too, if you like NCIS. But
I may have to check it out.
Yeah.
If it's as good as the show with Todd Herman on it.
Todd Herman is our new newest talk show host. He started yesterday.
Because Bishop Jackson's running for president.
Right. So Todd Herman is on from noon to 1 o'clock Central Time. So check him out today. He's a pro. He's a great Christian brother, and the Lord led us to Todd.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that, and we're delighted to have him as our newest talk show
host. We have some excellent talk show hosts. Folks, check it out, and I'll tell you something else. Encourage your friends and family to check out American Family Radio. Download the app. We have heard, Tim, many, many testimonies of people, even people in prison.
We have a lot of.
Who listened to AFR and got
letters.
Saved.
I get one letter a week from a listener who's incarcerated.
Right.
Yeah, and so, we have a lot of folks and who listen to us who are in jail or in prison. All right, Fred, appreciated your dig at. Lazy boy Ed over here. I enjoyed that. What'd you say? He's in decline?
He's in decliner.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
It was a great sandwich.
Yeah. Thank you for what you did this hour, which was
30 minutes
to nothing.
Yeah. All right.
Do what I can.
I call Ed the encourager, Chris.
Yes.
He's a genius.
It's all this is sarcasm when people call me a genius. I was being sarcastic when I called me a genius.
Okay, Steve Paisley Jordahl is on deck in 5 minutes. We'll see you back here then.